So contrary to popular belief that us architects go in the drawer and pick out green A, B, C, and D and just flip-flop them and add them to a golf course, each golf course is unique, and the green complexes are, you know, built to reflect that. So then we go, and some of the holes had...
Were you able to kind of do a clean slate, like with 9 here? I know it was kind of a little bit elevated.
So the 9th hole, the green was pitched from back to front very severely. So when you were in the clubhouse, all you were looking at was a big slope off the back of the green. And we came up with a concept to make it more... integrated with the clubhouse elevations to do more of a Redan style green where it flowed off the back. So that elevation is about 3 feet plus lower than it originally was. So, I mean, you can look out now and watch people putting on that green where before you were just looking at a big slope that was way above eye level. So those are the types of things we did. And we did sketches like for number 5 here, since that was a whole new green complex, showing what the concept would be with the bunkering, the green, some of the subtle mounting and the approach, if you remember the front left of 5. So we did concept sketches along the way.
Number 5 is a really hard second set, by the way. Yeah. It's a tight little green.
Yeah, so we tried to give you a bailout on the left side. So on these green complexes, if you got trouble on one side of the green, typically we give you a bailout on the other side, and that was to make it more playable for the public golfer. So some of the things we ran into was the infrastructure that existed on the golf course, trying to do the renovation and retain as much of that infrastructure, the storm drainage, the irrigation. So you see on this green complex on number 9, we had irrigation heads, and we had to design to meet those grades so we wouldn't have to rip out all the irrigation. So the perimeter of the complex remained the same, but the interior was all re-sculpted and contoured, and the strategic pin placements were set up. So that's some of the the complexity that's integrated into the design and renovation when you're working on a golf course from the early 1900s. Yeah, it is. And what you try to do is, when you walk away, not make it look like, it's this modern golf course that was just built. We tried to make it look like it was from that golden age of golf course architecture and introduce some of the classic elements of golf course architecture.
Bunkers come from on the, 2 and 11 or 2
and 12? Yeah, and some of them are target bunkers. Some of them, they're intended to come into play for guys like this guy over here. I mean, to pinch.
A lot of tough tee shots, 12. 12 is a really hard tee shot.
So did you hit, you hit driver because it was with the wind.
I just hit a lot of drivers today, but, there's a lot of holes where I would probably not hit driver. Because, it forces you to be aggressive towards the target. If you're not, you're hitting it into a bunker, and then you really got no chance.
Yeah.
But so, the tee shots, there's no bailouts, really, it feels like, to me at least.
So what I tried to do, there's a couple spots where we did that. The bunkers are far enough out there that only the lower handicap golfers can reach. So it's more visual for higher handicap golfers. But I mean, it's going to make you think, do I hit driver or do I lay up with something else? It really makes you think your way through the golf course. You don't step up on every tee with a driver and just grip it and rip it. There's a lot of holes where it's just position golf, and it'll result, in a reasonable shot into the green and a chance at birdie. So,
rewards the good tee shots, but if you're not hitting good tee shots, you're going to be in a world of hurt, for sure. Yeah, 100%.
The 5th hole and the 13th hole, we had about 40 to 50 yards each. We added length on number 3. There's about 6 or 7 holes we added yardage, but we also added forward tees, so it plays shorter. So there's a lot more elasticity in the length that the golf course can play.
So overall, that tee was maybe 150 to 200 yards total, something like that?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, that'd be because we added some yardage on number 7, the back tee. There were a lot of dead trees. There were a lot of dying trees. Those were the first trees to be removed, and then we identified trees that would negatively impact the playability of the golf course, to try to open it. Some of the golf hole corridors were very linear, and by removing trees, we have now have a kind of a flow, a seamless flow through some of those corridors that look more natural.
Did you remove bunkers or change any of them?
Yeah, all the bunkers were renovated. Some were filled in. Some new ones were added. But every green complex had a bunker left and bunker right. So you don't see that anymore on the green complexes. So there were a lot of bunkers taken out. And we've got less than 50,000 square feet of bunkers out here, which is pretty lean today's standard. It's typically like 100 to 150,000 square feet. So we tried to use it, the bunkering, judiciously and, you know, balance it between the different levels of golfers. Yeah.
So, with the addition of forward tees, you added tee boxes, obviously.
Yes.
Yep. Every hole.
Yeah. Without going through the plan in detail, every hole, all the tees were, the surfaces were leveled and reseeded. And tees were either, some of them were realigned too. Some of them like would aim golfers off into the woods. So we realigned them to the tee shot landing areas. We want to kind of simplify the thought process for the golfers when they stand on the tee.
I'm a big fan, though.
Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Part of this, or any one hole, maybe even turn out better than you originally hoped?
You know, part of the fun and enjoyment of being a golf course architect is to have a vision and then put it on paper and then watch it evolve from the ground. So, I mean, when I pulled up here Friday for the opening, I got choked up. I mean, I looked out over here and I was like, wow, that was quite a team process, because there was a lot of people involved, and from all the committees and boards that I worked with, and the contractor and the superintendent and his team did an amazing job growing the golf course in. So it's kind of the ultimate expression of a team effort to make a project like this come to fruition. So I don't know. The fourth hole was supposed to be the signature hole, and I hear people talking a lot about the 13th hole. And, you know, there's tee shots that I really like out here, approach shots, green complexes. So every hole's got a little something.
The 13th hole really generated more conversation already than people talking about it last Friday.
Yeah, as I mentioned, the 13th hole is one of the holes that a lot of people are talking about. But I think the golf course offers a lot of flexibility in the way it can be set up, and I think golfers will really enjoy the golf course, and there's a lot of variety that they'll experience, from the tee to the green.
How nice is it that they redid this building, so you get some of the views of it when you're coming in and out of different holes?
Yeah, so they did a fantastic job with the clubhouse, redesigned the outdoor areas, removing a lot of the vegetation that was overgrowing the area, the surrounds around the clubhouse. Now when you sit in here, you have over 180 degree view out to the golf course, and I think that panoramic view and all the windows really make it comfortable. People are going to want to come here and have a dinner or have a drink and just to enjoy the views out here. So yeah, I think it's a great amenity for the residents and the people visiting the area.
16,
I don't think we shortened it. We squared them off, so maybe the very tip was shortened a little bit. But yeah, those holes are kind of tough. For the average player, you go over it on 10, back over on 11, you go over on 6. Playing over that canal is tough for the higher handicap golfers. Yeah. Yeah, so again, 10.
Remember, I told you during the meet, 10 was like, for me, it was playable if you didn't have a perfect shot there.
Yeah. So now, you can hit it, you can miss it. If you miss it long or left or right, you're fine. You just don't want to miss it short. because we got bailout all the way around that green. And
so hard.
You know, at 11, the right-hand side, we've got that fairway bailout now. Most average golfers miss a shot right, so you know you try to go through the golf course and have a thought process of a higher handicap golfer to make it more playable for them. Yeah, and you know, today I was out there catching up with all your groups, and I saw every type of shot from there. I would play a putt every time because I'm terrible. You know, those are tough shots around the green, but
there's a few holes that look like somebody appreciated finders too out there. So
Yeah,
these are not your typical flat,
visible kind of course greens here. You've got a lot of areas where you can hit
them. Think about 14 today. The par 3, the pin was kind of in the middle front, but there's a back right pin placement that's tough. It's protected by one of those fairway collection areas in a grass hollow. And to the left, there's another tight pin placement area. So, you know, if you got a 30-foot deep green target to aim for, it makes it a lot more challenging. So, you know, that's some of the flexibility with the pin placements. And it's not always the back left or back right. Sometimes the front pin placements are the more difficult pin placements. So when he gets the rotation of the pin placements throughout the week, he's got an opportunity to mix up the difficulty throughout the golf course.
Hey Patrick, well, how much fun was it for you to come back to a place that had some roots in your game and see all the improvements here at Sunset Valley?
Yeah, it was pretty incredible, honestly. It's like I was saying, you kind of show up and I recognize all the holes, sort of, but they look so different that it was really a lot of fun. I was extremely impressed with the golf course. It was a fantastic redesign. It's honestly one of the best courses in the North Shore, I would say. So it was really, really cool, and I haven't been back much because it's been closed, so I was really excited to get out here today.
And it sounds like you set maybe not only a course record, but your own personal record here, too?
It was fun day. I shot 67. I got off to a great start, and I'm just feeling really solid about my game. So, I mean, we had a lot of fun out there, and it was nice to play with Ed Sherman, who's a friendly face and a really nice guy. So, I had a really fun day.
Mm-hmm. What holes did you like the best? All the ones you made birdie on, sure, but...
I was really impressed with 13 and the back nine in total. It was playing really, really challenging today, into the wind. A lot of really tough holes. I just felt like the course, while it can be more forgiving in spots, the green complexes are way more, there's way more going on, and they're really well designed, so I really thought that was really cool. But also some of the tee shots, you really have to hit a great tee shot to hit the fairway. And if you don't hit a great tee shot, you're going to be in a bunker, and that's just going to make the holes so much harder. I just felt like the bunkers were really well placed. But that being said, for a high handicap golfer, it's also just a really fun place to play. It's not claustrophobic out there at all. So I think it's just a really well-designed golf course, and it's definitely a lot more challenging, I'd say, for a low handicapper than it used to be before the redesign.
Talk about those greens a little bit. High handicappers say, hey, I'm on, this is great, I got a putt for birdie, par, whatever, but some of those greens, those could be 100-foot putts.
Yeah, I mean, the greens were big and sectioned in different areas, so you have to be close to the hole. Yeah, the greens were pure. I was really impressed. They were some of the best greens I've ever putted on. Normally, new greens are a little bit bouncy, but these were rolling really true, and they were firm, but they weren't bouncing all over the place. So the greens were fantastic. The complexes are really cool. It's a type of place where you can come out and play day after day and not get bored of it because the course can play so different with different pin locations.
And finally, career-wise, what's next for you? Q-School, web.com?
Web.com, Q-School, in Lincoln, Nebraska, pre-qualifying. So that's step one, and then I'm hoping to just get through all four stages of that, and then I'll be on the web.com tour. That's my plan A, and then I've got a couple plan B, plan C, in case that doesn't work out, but I'm feeling really good about my game, so I'm going to go do my thing and hopefully get it done.
Lewis Sauer, your coach, got you locked in?
Yeah, he's got me dialed in. I had him out to Merritt Club yesterday. We had a great time, so yeah, he's the man, so everything's been really good.
Any other tournaments you're scheduled for besides the Q School?
Yeah, so between pre-qualifying and first stage, there's about a month. So I'm going to go play in the Nebraska Open and then drive to the Toledo Open So Nebraska Open ends on like the 16th, and Toledo Open starts on the 17th of September. So I'm gonna have a little bit of a haul, but I think, like I said, I'm feeling really good about my game, and I think it's gonna be a great test to go continue competing while I'm going throughout Q school. So I'm excited about those.
Toledo, Ohio. Do you think you could play some decent golf in Ohio? Have you ever done that before?
I've played a lot of golf in Ohio. We played the course. It's called Highland Meadows for a MAC championship my sophomore year of college. So I'll be going back to a familiar place, which is nice.